It's once again this parsha of Parshas Balak, which we need to understand. The pasuk says that Hashem came to Bilam. Vayavar Elokim el Bilam Laila. Hashem came to Bilam during the night. And he said to him, if these people came to call you, kum leichitam, get up and go with them. However, whatever I tell you to tell, to speak, that's what you need to do. Bilam got up in the morning. And he harnessed his donkey. And he went with the ministers of Moav. And Hashem got angry that he was going. So the Malach stood on the way to obstruct him. The Psukim seem Mamash not to make sense. The Hashem says to him, go with them. And immediately afterwards, it's when Bilam goes with them, it says Hashem got angry that he was going. Why was Hashem getting angry? Hashem just told him that he could go with them. So the Pasuk says, Vateira ha'osen is Malach Hashem. The donkey saw the angel of Hashem, atilochet al akir. So it pushed against it. It pressed against the wall. Vatilchat as regel Bilam al akir, and Bilam's foot was pressed against the wall. Vayosef lakoisa, so he continued to hit the donkey. So the pasuk finds it necessary to tell us that Bilam's foot was pressed against the wall. Why is that necessary for us to know that? And then the pasuk that I mentioned earlier, Vayivtach Hashem es pi'o, and Hashem opened the mouth of the donkey. Vatayma the Bilam, she said to Bilam, Mel, Sisilacha, what have I done to you? Ki seni zesh olosh regolma, you have now smitten me three times. And Rashi says, Rom's the lawyer that she hinted to him, Atamavakesh la'akiruma achigega sholosh regolma shana, you're trying to uproot a nation that celebrates three Yom Tovim a year. And as I asked before, why are specifically the three Yom Tovim mentioned here when we're talking about a nation that observes 613 mitzvahs? Why are, out of all those mitzvahs, why is the donkey reminding Bilam specifically of the three Yom Tovim? And what I find most difficult out of all the kashas is that Bilam seems to be such a tzaddik. He keeps on repeating time and time again, I will not say anything besides what Hashem tells me to say. Mamash a tzaddik? Since when is Bilam such a tzaddik? Did Hashem tell Bilam to sleep with his donkey too? He only does what Hashem tells him to say? Bilam was the lowest of the low. He was the most tummy person that existed. All of a sudden, he's only going to listen to what Hashem says? And you see that he had a choice in the matter. He had Bechira, because Hashem needs to warn him. Hashem warns him before he goes. You can go, but you can only talk what I tell you. Seems that Bilam had free choice not to listen. So why did he listen? Since when is Bilam such a tzaddik? Later on in the parsha, It says, Ne'um ha'gevra shesum ha'ayin. These are the words of the person who is missing an eye. And Rashi says, from here we learn that Bilam was suma ba'achas me'en avoya. Bilam was blind in one eye. Why does that make any difference? Why do we need to know that? In the Levush, in Simen Kuv Orachaim Simen Kuv Chafei, the Levush says, "Toiv lechaven eraglov b'shosha emer kedusha." When a person says kedusha, a person should put his feet together. Why? Shahari oimrim nekadesh es shimcha ba'olam k'moishem magdishem moishe b'shmei mora. Because we say we are going to sanctify your name in this world the same way you are sanctified in heaven. Uvamoraim Hare Mikachinoi say Beregel Yeshara. And in heaven the angels sanctify Hashem with one straight foot. Dichsiv, as it says in the Pasuk, Viraglehem Regel Yeshara, because it says in the Pasuk, and their feet are one straight foot. In other words, the Levush is telling us that when we say Kedusha, we should put our feet together as if it's one foot, because the angels have one foot. As it says in the Pasuk, V'ragleihem regel yeshara. And we mention that we're going to sanctify Hashem the same way the angels sanctify Him. So that's why we should put our feet together as if it's one foot. So what does this mean? The angels have feet. They only have one foot. And that's why we have to put our both feet together. What does this all mean? The El Yerabe. And that same Simon. Says, like this, b'masem rakove motzasi. I found, says the El Yerabe, b'masem rakove. The lashon is, I don't have the sefer in front of me, but the lashon is somewhat similar to what I'm telling you. Limdu aizam, teach Klal Yisrael that b'shal sha'imrim kodesh kodesh, that when they say kodesh kodesh kodesh, Yarimu einehem lamala, they should lift their eyes heavenward. V'yitlu einehem b'yenov, and they should focus their eyes into the eyes of the Rabbeinu Shalela. V'hu yitla einav b'yenehem, and Hashem's eyes will look into their eyes. And they should also lift their heels heavenward. So, we all know that we all do that. When we say Kaddish, 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 we lift our heels heavenward. But not many people know about lifting their eyes heavenward. That's what it says in Masim Rekov. And it says there that we're supposed to look into the eyes of the Rabbeinu Shloim and to realize that Hashem is looking into our eyes. Continues the Masim Rekova. Ve'ein loy la'kadosh baruch hu hanoy lo'olam hazeh yoyser mibizman shebnei Yisroel marimim einayim lamala v'toylim einayim ve'einov. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not have any greater pleasure in this world than the time that Bnei Yisrael say Kadosh, 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 and we lift our eyes towards His eyes, and He looks with His eyes into our eyes. Bo Yisashon at that time, Oichiz b'kisei kevoidoi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu grabs onto his holy throne. B'dmus Yaakov, in the image of Yaakov. U'mechabkoi u'menashkoi. And the Rebbeinu Shlalom embraces it and kisses it. These are unbelievable words. This is what takes place when we say Kadosh, 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 and we lift our eyes heavenwards. And we're at the time we have to realize that we're looking into Hashem's eyes and Hashem is looking into our eyes. What in the world does all this mean? What is so special about this? That this is the greatest pleasure that Hashem has in His world. So I'd like to suggest the following. We know that people, B'nai Yisrael, were called hoilchim, were walkers. Meaning, because a person is never stationary. We're either growing in spirituality or we're falling in spirituality. A person can never remain stationary. If we're not growing, we're falling. So a person, therefore, is called a hoilich. We're walkers. A malach, an angel, on the other hand, is called an oimed. A malach is stationary. A malach was created with a specific mission. The malach cannot grow. The malach cannot fall. The malach remains on his level. Now, even though the malach performs the mitzvahs, meaning, when Hashem commands the Malach to do something, the Malach complies. Nevertheless, the Malach doesn't grow because the Malach doesn't have free choice. The Malach doesn't have Bechira. The Malach doesn't have the choice not to do it. The Malach is a robot. So the Malach remains on that, on their Madrega, on their level. They are called an Oimed. Whereas a person who has free choice, and we choose to perform mitzvahs, we therefore, when we do mitzvahs, we grow. When we don't do mitzvahs, we fall. So now we can understand why we have 2 feet, whereas by the malachim it says that they have 1 foot. Not that there's any physical image to a malach. What it represents is, in order to be a hoilech, you need 2 feet. In order to walk, you need 2 feet. A malach doesn't need 2 feet because a malach stands in one place. So they have a regular yeshara, they have 1 foot. But it's much deeper than that. The Baal HaTanya once said to one of his derechayim and chassidim, one of his great chassidim, he said to him, "I want you to give me some musar." So obviously the chassid didn't know what to say, but the Alter Rebbe persisted, and the chassid finally said, "Rebbe, there is no question that if we compare ourselves to the Rebbe, there's no question the Rebbe is miles ahead of us. However, in comparison to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, we're all the same." It's a very, very important yesod. And that is that this whole concept of hoilech, of growing and falling, is all within the context of boundaries and limitations. But if we're going to talk about Ein Sof, if we're going to talk about the Ribbono Shel Olam, who is infinite, there's no, in comparison to the infinite, there's no growing or falling. There's nobody that's ahead or behind. In comparison to the infinite, we're all Oimdim. We're all standing, we're all stationary. There is no such thing as a Hoylech in the presence of Ein Sof, in the presence of infinity. So that's why an angel that is always conscious of being in the presence of Ein Sof, of always being in the presence of infinity, a Malach is therefore always an Oimed. It's only we human beings that live within the confines of the finite world and limitations, we are called Hoylcha. Here we're in our world of growing and falling. So now we can understand what the Levush is telling us. The Levush is telling us that when you say Kadosh, 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 which the definition of Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh is that Ribbono Shel Olam is, Kadosh means separate, that Ribbono Shel Olam is totally separate from this limited world, that Ribbono Shel Olam is Ein Sof, that Ribbono Shel Olam is infinite. When you are declaring that the Ribbono Shel Olam is infinite, put your feet together. Because all you need is one foot, you are going to become an Oimed. Because in the presence of infinity, there is no Hoylech. And this, I believe, is what the Ger said to Shammai and to Hillel. In Masechet Shabbos, the Ger says to them, Gairaini, Almanashe Tlamdeni Kola Toira Kulak Shani Oimed Al Regalachas. I want you to convert me on the condition that you can teach me the entire Torah while I'm standing on one foot. What did he want? What kind of request is that? What the Ger was asking, a very, very powerful question. Since in reality, we are in the presence of the infinite. So in reality, we are really not Hoychim. In reality, we're Oimdim. Because there is no Hoylech in the face of the infinite. So what is the purpose of the entire Torah? If we cannot grow or fall, and we cannot impact in any way the infinite Ribbono Shel Olam, so what is the purpose of all of the entire Torah? To which Hillel responded, the most fundamental lesson that Ayid needs to know. Mada aloch sane l'chavrach lo savit. What you don't like, don't do to anyone else. Which really, if you think into it, doesn't really make any sense. If Hillel was trying to teach a lesson of how to deal with others, now you should have said what don't do to others, what those others don't like. Why would he say what you don't like for yourself, don't do to others? Why does that make any sense? It should have said, what your chavr don't do to your friend, what your friend doesn't like. Hillel was saying something much deeper. Hillel was saying, let's take for example, you have a very, very wealthy person, a multi-billionaire, that has a very, very good friend that's a pauper. These two love each other. Now, the pauper wants to give something to his dear friend, the gvir, the wealthy person. There's nothing in the world that he can possibly give the gvir. The gvir has everything. But he nevertheless wants to show his love, his devotion, his loyalty. So the pauper puts together a breakfast with a hard piece of bread and some vegetables that he can afford to the best of his ability, and he brings it to the gevir. Now, if the gevir has any seichel, he understands how much love and devotion has gone into this meager breakfast that the pauper has prepared for him. He understands that the pauper has given him everything that he has. And he will appreciate it to no end, despite the fact that, in essence, the pauper didn't give him anything. Because he needed nothing. Now, if the gevir would give the same thing to the pauper, it would be offensive. Because a gift is not based on the need of the recipient. A gift that is to show love and devotion is totally dependent on the ability of the giver. And if the giver is doing the best of his ability, that is the best gift that there is, whether the recipient needs it or not. And that's why Hillel said, what is undesirable to you, don't give anyone else. Because a gift is dependent on the giver. Something takes something that you love and give it to someone else. It's totally dependent on you, not on the recipient. And what Hillel was saying was that this is how our relationship is with the Rabbanei Shlom. Of course, the Rabbanei Shlom doesn't need anything. He is infinite. And we're finite. Nevertheless, the Rabbanei Shlom knows that we are giving everything that we have within our ability. And that is all that Rabbeinu Shlom cares about. So when the Ger asked, how can it be that what is the purpose of the Torah when it's a regal achas, really we're all standing on one foot. We're all aimdim, we're not hoichim. What is the purpose of the Torah? Hillel explained, because it has nothing to do with the recipient, it has to do with the giver. And the Rabbeinu Shlom knows that we're doing everything within our ability. Ve'idach pirushahi, said Hillel, all the rest is commentary. All the rest of the Torah is commentary how we are to do the best of our ability. And now we understand what the Elie Rabbe is saying, that when Yidden say Kadosh, 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 what we're doing in essence, when we're talking about the Rabbeinu Shlom's infinity, what we're doing is we are focusing, we are looking into the eyes of the Rabbeinu Shlom. Meaning we are, at that time, we're looking at things from the Rabbeinu Shlom's perspective. We're seeing infinity. And that's why our feet are together, because we realize that it's regel achas. We realize that we're all standing on one foot. There is no haylech, all there is an oymed. But at the same time, the Rebbeinu Shlomo is looking into our eyes. He's looking at things from our perspective. And he realizes that we're doing everything within our ability to please him, to show our love and our devotion and our loyalty. And at that moment, there is nothing that brings the Rebbeinu Shel Olam greater pleasure, and he grabs the demus of Yaakov and he embraces it and he kisses it, because he's looking at things from our perspective. This, I believe, is what Chazal tell us about Shmini Atzeres. Chazal says Shmini Atzeres regal bifnei atzmai. Shmini Atzeres is a regal unto its own. Meaning, it's not the same yontif as Sukkot. It's a regal unto its own. But there's the deeper meaning of this is that Shmini Atzeres is the time of the yichud of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Klal Yisrael. It's the time that we declare Atahorei Salodas Ki Hashem Hu Elokim Einoid Melvado. It's the time that we focus on the infinity of the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. It's a time that we realize that we're Oimdim, we're not Holchim, that we're all standing on one foot. Regel Bifnei Atzmai. And that's why there's no mitzvahs on Shmini Atzeres. Because we're not Holchim on Shmini Atzeres. We're Oimdim. Regel Bifnei Atzmai. Bilam. It says in the Torah, it says in the Pasuk, Yodea Das Elyon. He knew the Das of above, meaning that Bilam grasped this concept of Ein Sof, that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam was infinite. However, what Bilam did not grasp is Hillel's answer, that Mada L'chosan L'chavrach L'savid. So Bilam came to the conclusion that since the Rebbeinu Shel Olam is infinite and that we're really Oimdim, we really don't make a difference. And therefore, Bilam came to the conclusion that we're just like angels. We don't have free choice. A person is to follow their every desire. And that is why Bilam was such a lowly creature. And that's why it says that he was blind in one eye, because a person has two eyes, with one eye to look into the eyes of the Rebbeinu Shel Olam and to see things from the Rebbeinu Shel Olam's perspective. And that Bilam had, V'yodei Adas Elyon. He was able to see things from the Rebbeinu Shel Olam's perspective. Eina Ein Sof. That the Rebbeinu Shel Olam is infinite, that we're really Oimdim. But the other eye is made to realize that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam was looking into our eyes and seeing things from our perspective. And that we're doing everything within our ability to show our dedication and our love. That Bilam didn't have. And that's how Bilam justified his lowly life, suggesting that he was an oimed. Due to the fact that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam is Ein Sof, and that he has no bechira, he has no free choice. The problem with that theory, though, is that when the Rebbeinu Shel Olam tells him to do something, he's got to do it. So, when the Rebbeinu Shel Olam tells him, Achas Adover Asher, whatever I tell you, you've got to listen to, Bilam knew that he had to listen. If not, he was refuting his entire life. all of his justifications would fall away if he wouldn't act like a robot. However, as soon as Hashem told him that he can go, it says, Vayokam Bilam Baboyke, Bilam got up early in the morning, and he harnessed his own donkey. And Chazal tells us that the reason he did so was in order to be mekatrig on Klal Yisrael, that he does things early in the morning. Whereas B'nai Yisrael do things, they postpone to do the mitzvahs. So the Rabbein Ishlam said to Bilam, wait a second here. You're an oimed. All of a sudden you're doing things in order to, as if you can make a difference, as if your actions all of a sudden are going to make a difference and cause a kitrug against Klal Yisrael. Hashem got angry because all of a sudden Bilam was acting like a hoilech. And if that's the case, you refuted your entire life. So Hashem sent a malach to show Bilam what a malach is. Vayisyatzev malach Hashem baderach. The malach stood. The malach is an oimed. To show Bilam a malach doesn't have free choice. You must do as I tell you. And that's why the pasuk says about Tilchatz Regel Bilam Alakir. Bilam lived with this concept of Regel as if he was always standing on one foot, as if he was an oimid. Here Bilam's Regel was being pressed against the wall. Because he wanted, all of a sudden, when it came to cursing Klal Yisrael, he wanted to be a hoilech. Now, Klal Yisrael has this tremendous advantage that, on one hand, when we say Kodesh, 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 We're looking into the Rebbeinu Shlomo's eyes and seeing things from the Rebbeinu Shlomo's perspective. We realize that the Rebbeinu Shlomo is Ein Sof, and at that time we put both of our feet together and we stand like a malach, realizing that that in reality we're an oimed. But at the same time, we realize that the Rebbeinu Shlomo is looking into our eyes and seeing things from our perspective, and that we truly are a hoilech in that sense. Because from our perspective, we live on the dust of the earth, of the finite earth, and we are hoilchem. In the Rebbeinu Shlom's eyes, when the Rebbeinu Shlom looks into our eyes, we are hoilchem. So we, in essence, we have 3 feet. We have 2 feet to be a hoilech, and then there's the times that we stand on 1 foot. When we say Kodesh, 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 and focus on Einoid Melvadoi. And this is what the donkey says to Bilam. You, Bilam, you're going to try, you lowly creature, you're going to try to uproot a nation that celebrates 3 regalim. We celebrate 3 regalim. We have 2 feet as a hoilech and 1 foot as an oimed. There's no way in the world you'll be able to conquer them. And this is what Bilam says when the first time he looks at Klal Yisrael. He says, Mimono Afar Yankiv. Who can value the sense of offer that Yankiv has? That Yankiv realizes that they're walking on the dust of the earth, and that they're in that sense they're a hoilech, because they're in the offer and the finite offer. But at the same time, mispar is roiva Yisrael. Who can value roiva is Rosh Tevis regel b'fnei atzmai. Who can value the regel b'fnei atzmai of a yid when a yid realizes kodesh, 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 that einoid milvada. take from this parsha? Is the tremendous, just these are mamish, the foundations of Yiddishkeit. To realize that we're oimed al regalachas, and that we're oimed him, and that we're hoilchim, and that we're looking into the Rebbeinu Shlom's eyes, and at the same time the Rebbeinu Shlom is looking into our eyes. And how much the Rebbeinu Shlom appreciates the fact that we're doing everything that is within our ability to do, despite the fact that we're not giving anything to the Rebbeinu Shlom. So the Eibster helfen, that in the schus of that constant realization and that constant dedication and love, that Rebbeinu Shlom should hold on to that demus of Yankiv and be mechabkoy menashka, that Rebbeinu Shlom should embrace it and kiss it and bring us the geula shleima, v'vias Mashiach tzedkenu b'mehirah b'yameinu. Amen.